Welcome to Mount Pleasant Methodist Church in Van Cleve, Mississippi. This is our Bible study for the book Profoundly Christian, Distinctly Methodist by Ryan Barnett and Jason Vickers. This is session 10 and was recorded on November 12, 2025.
Micah 3:8,
and as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin.
Okay. All right, and who had that second passage? Did I give that? All right, Jerry?
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is your advantage that I go away. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged.
All right, so let's stop. Let's read in your catechism. What is the answer to the question 22? How does the Holy Spirit lead us to repentance? And it says, He convinces the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. I know that's repeating the scripture. So, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we can't be what?
Led to God.
We can't be convicted. And I know y'all heard that term a lot growing up in church, those of you that grew up in church. What does that mean to say that I'm convicted of my sins? What's that look like?
Made aware.
Aware, just aware, or is there more to it than that?
You feel guilty.
You feel what now?
Guilty.
You are led not just to be aware of my sin. By the way, is it possibly unaware of our sin?
Yes.
Is it possible to remain unaware of our sin when the Holy Spirit begins to work on us?
No.
Is it possible for one guy to sit there and say, I'm the worst of sinners, and the other guy to be so inattentive to what he
says?
That was funny. That was the best of it. I want some personal stuff here. Give me an example of a time you became convicted or aware of sin in your life. Short answers, please.
Every day.
So the Holy Spirit, Rudy, is working on you
every day
to convict you of sin. Now, what's the next step?
Confession.
If you're already a Christian, what's the next step?
Ask for forgiveness.
If you've sinned against God, that's easy. You can say,
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, forgive me. The Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. If you've sinned against someone else, what's the answer?
Ask
their forgiveness.
Then you're talking about what in AA circles is called an amends. You go and you say, I'm sorry, I talked about you. Or I will give a great example, and you will know this person because he lives on the Gulf Coast. There's a famous Methodist person who has a, that's all I'll say. When I was doing my 50th reunion at Bellhaven a couple of weekends ago, I ran across a buddy of mine who I roomed with him for a year at Miss Fagan's on State Street in Jackson. He's a retired doctor. He's a guy that taught me how to pray. I remember I preached about him. And we were talking about a buddy of ours who lives here on the coast, went to Bellhaven. He said, I hadn't heard from him for 30 years. And he said, about 20 years ago, I get a letter from him. And I said, what was in the letter? He said, you won't believe this. He sent me a letter saying that when he was a student at Bellhaven, he said, my roommate and I kept a big jug of quarters, dimes, nickels on their bookshelf in their dorm room. And basically, they would get money. Back then, you could get a Coke for a dime or a quarter. So they would take change. He said, I want to confess that over the year that I lived next to you in the dorm, occasionally I would go into your room and I would take money out of your jar. And he sent him a check for $35.60. Now y'all are laughing. And here's what, and I said, well, Chip, how did he know how much? And he said, he must have been really conscious of his sin. Think about that. So he became aware, evidently the Holy Spirit worked in this person. He became aware of his sin, or was reminded of his sin. And instead of just saying, oh, God forgave me of that, what did he do?
He made amends.
He took a free will action to actually say to the person, I've wronged you in this way, and I want to make, we call it restitution.
Amends.
Restitution. Or amends. Now, that's the best example I know of that. Some of you may have one. So, when we become, the Holy Spirit works to make us aware of our sin, and then to move us to do something about that, whether it be confession or amends or going to another person and saying, I spoke evil of you, or a long time ago I did this. So, I mean, I can't think. I used the word a while ago. It is that prick. It's that spark. And without the Holy Spirit, do we get that?
It's amazing to see that in children as well.
Yes.
When they act out of disobedience, and then later will come to you and say, Mama, I'm sorry. I did such and such. And it's got to be the Holy Spirit bringing that to their attention.
And, you know, maybe that's why Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, willing to do what? Confess, to struggle with that. So, the Holy Spirit is not just a part of our repentance. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't really have repentance. But there's a term that some groups use that calls God quickening us, quickening our hearts to the evidence of sin. And by the way, people talk about the Asbury Revival and what went on, and people talk about other revivals. One of the sure signs of revival, according to all the historical documents, is an acute awareness and desire to flee from sin.
Repentance.
In other words, not just to say, oh God, not just the one side, oh God, you love me, but oh God, you love me and you want to cleanse me and forgive me of all of my
sin. I have a practical question.
Okay.
In the video, the guy alluded to being a football fan. I happen to be a football fan. And he implied that watching football 8 hours on Saturday is a sin. Well, how much football can I watch?
Y'all want to give it a shot? What do you want? Hey, anybody want to give that a shot? What are you getting up to give him an answer?
No.
What do you say? All right, so what
does it become a
Gary,
sin?
All right, Gary, help him out.
I would rebuttal that guy by saying, okay, if you're on the road for 8 hours, driving, can't show nothing but driving, is that a sin?
Yeah, that's where this is leading.
Parallels the same.
So it's not the 8 hours. What do y'all think it is?
But if you have to inquire, certainly the Holy Spirit must be speaking.
Well, here's what Lynette will say to me occasionally. She'll say, are all you going to do today is sit there and watch one SEC football game after another?
What's wrong with that?
And my answer would be yes. Yes, I am.
But now here's the question. The question is not how, for us, we get older, we get some outs on that. But here's the question. I think where he's getting at is literally, I've got a neighbor that's got so many needs. She's been on our prayer list. She's back in the hospital again. Constantly. And by the way, I could go down there every night and speak to her, and she even tried to give me money for the church the other day because I simply went by and spoke to her. That's how lovely I think she is. And so Lynette got to me, the Holy Spirit worked. She said, well, at least you could go check on Vivian sometime during halftime.
The question is, what do you give up in watching all that football
The question
that
is,
you
what
could
do you
be doing for God?
Well, the question for me is not is it sinful to watch football? The answer to that is obviously no. Can watching football all day on Saturday
be
sinful?
Whoa. Why is the answer to that obviously no?
Why? Because it is.
Well, explain yourself.
Well, because just watching football by itself, it's not the object of watching a football game is not sinful.
Listen to the question that Hal's asking.
What are you asking, Hal?
What are you doing? You have this 1 hour, you have this 1 minute of your time.
Right.
You are closer to death than you are from birth.
Speak
the greatest size is coming.
Right.
The book will be closed on your life.
Right.
And you are choosing to do what with this next hour?
So what did
where did Jesus and his commandments ever say anything against that, though?
What are you giving up that you could be doing for God?
Is that your answer?
Yeah. That's my answer.
So the question would be for who would the question? Who would the answer be for there?
For me?
For you, right?
Personally.
Can you give that answer for someone else?
No, I can't.
Right. And I don't think that's what they were trying to do. I think they were trying to be generic.
Trying to be generic, but they brought out an example that touched my heart because he's described me.
Is it possible to sit and watch football all day long and become insensitive to
Definitely.
Is it possible to do anything for 8 hours and become insensitive to the Spirit of God?
8 hours?
I'd say it is.
Yes.
Is it possible to do anything for 15 minutes and become insensitive to God?
Yeah.
Depends on what you're doing.
Does the Spirit have a time limit on how the Spirit works to convict us of sin?
No.
Now here's a hypothetical question. Was Peter sinning when he went back and said, I've got to go fishing, and he left the group to go fishing? Was that a sin?
What do you think?
I don't think so. What are you talking
about? What do you think?
He chose his life for work. He said, I got something else I got to do.
Well, so my question is, what has Jesus already called him?
That's a whole different. Was it a sin?
The problem we're running into is that there is nothing for our contemporary sensibility. Right. There ain't nothing in Scripture that says, footnote, by the way, here is a definition of sin.
So
outside of the Ten Commandments.
Exactly. So that's my point, is y'all are trying to nail down something as being a sin. He gave the definition per Adam. That a sin is an identity.
So Gary,
not a verb. He didn't use it as a verb. He used it as an identity.
So, all right, Gary,
uses scriptures.
And it says,
what is sin? It's transgression of law. Is there any law given that?
We're not under the law anymore, Woody. We're not under the law anymore.
Well, we're still under the commandments.
Here's the question.
No, Jesus' commandments, not the 12 commandments.
Is Jesus?
If we're not under the law, and I understand what you're saying.
Right.
There is no sin.
Huh?
We ain't Baptists.
We're not Baptists. My question. What he's saying on the tape is, what are you doing with your time, your money, the very vows that the fence to makers took Sunday. What will you be loyal to this church with your time, your talents, and your
gifts?
Now, is that a set rule that everybody follows? In other words, see, for Hal, 8 hours of football may be okay.
Hal's sitting at home. He ain't got nothing else to do.
Isn't that the same
thing?
We
all have something else to do.
But isn't that the same philosophy that the monks took on in the early 2nd or 3rd, 5th century? To isolate themselves because, okay, we got to stay in this box because that's our... And that was the attitude that they took.
Go share.
They take a lot of their rings.
I think that's
it. And that wasn't...
Can we make laws for somebody? We decide what's sin for somebody else?
No, it's only a personal thing.
I like to focus on the
Jesus
Greek.
Did that.
Who did?
Jesus did that.
Yes, he did.
All right, and he did, what did he say? Don't, what?
Well, just go back and read his commandments.
Right, what did he say then? Be specific, Gary, what did he say?
About which one?
About, so what did, So is
wait a minute, y'all got me confused. You're talking about commandments, and you say there ain't no law.
Well, we're not under the law.
No, but okay,
what about them commandments?
Jesus said, "Be saved, follow my word."
Wait, Gary,
so I'm talking
about
this.
Well, Gary, Hal asked a question. It might be a sin for Hal to sit at home for 8 hours.
Yeah, it might be.
But, and it might be a sin for us to get into this debate about whether the law is true or not, right?
Why?
Would that be a sin?
Well, it might be if we get distracted.
If it distracts us from what we should be doing for God.
That's what he said on the tape. He said, can it distract us from what God is calling us to do? I don't know what... how do you feel after watching it?
You're opening up a landmine, because then that brings us right back to this video we're watching.
There are some games that it's a sin to watch.
Yeah.
I think that the focus needs to be on being responsible
and
to the creative Holy Spirit that works individually with each of us. It's no cut pattern.
Right.
My Savior
said
he didn't come on this earth
to
destroy the law by the prophets.
Right. He also said he did not condemn the world either.
Irregardless, he said that.
Right.
So am I to ignore that?
But he's not talking about a commandment. He's talking about watching. He's talking about there's no commandment in the scripture that says you can't watch football for 8 hours.
Forget about the football. I'm more concerned about what I've heard.
And what have you heard?
I've heard law, and I've heard we're not under law.
All right.
Go, jump in.
I'm going to jump in.
Jump in.
There are two sermons by John Wesley, back to back on this.
Forget about John Wesley. What does God say in his word?
The law is that thing which draws you to your need for grace and faith. It is that which convicts you.
And so then, it's good.
And
it's
then,
like Paul said.
And then secondly, once you're there, the law is what establishes your holiness. So you're never exonerated. Your freedom from faith alone, you either decide, you know, as the antinomians do, that, good, 12 years old, Bible camp, I'm good to go, and I can now just sin at large for the rest of my life. Or you use the law to establish a way of holy living. And that's what the law is
for. Skip the law and go to Jesus' commandments is the exact same thing, but it's his commandments and not the law that he's already fulfilled.
That's our study for this week on Profoundly Christian, Distinctly Methodist. Thank you for walking these doctrinal depths with us, guided by Ryan Barnett, Jason Vickers, and the rich catechism of the Global Methodist Church. May we continue embracing a faith that's profoundly Christian in its foundations and distinctly Methodist in its vibrant call to holiness and love.